Well, good morning. Welcome to Northridge Community Church. I'm Pastor Doug. If I haven't had the chance to meet you, I'm so glad that you're here. So this week, I did the same thing. I asked people what they thought omnipotence was. And one of the responses I got was, I don't really know. I said, well, take the word and break it down, right? Make it easier. Omnipotent. Well, they said, well, I really don't know what omni means. Potent, I don't know. Maybe, oh, I know. God is saying, I'm impotent. Not exactly what I had in mind. God is important, but that's not really what it means to be omnipotent. That's what we're going to look at today. We're in this message series called Knowing God. And we're talking about things about God's nature, His character. Because it's not about just knowing about God, it's getting to know who He is and what His character is like, so that in turn we can be transformed and become more like Him and have a personal relationship with Him. Now, growing up, I had the privilege of having an incredible Christian father who was a great example to me. And when I was a little boy, my dad was the strongest thing on the planet. My dad had the biggest forearms. He had bigger forearms than Popeye, right? My dad could hit a baseball farther than anyone I've ever seen in my life until I got to watch the major leagues. But my dad was someone who I thought was just the most strongest person in the world. One of the things he used to do when I was a kid is he would sit on the floor, Indian style, and just say, hey, try to push me over. And me and my brother couldn't ever get to the point where we could push him over. It wasn't until high school, I think, until we finally were big enough and strong enough to push my dad over. He was just this immovable object. He was so strong. I looked up to him so much because he was someone who provided that strength and that power, that protection in my life. Most importantly, my dad really taught me that God was the person that I needed to look up to as the strongest person in my life. That God was the one who would provide the power and the protection that I needed throughout my life. And I'm so grateful that He taught me that. What about you? Do you know that God? Do you know that all-powerful God who will provide and protect for you? Do you know Him? Like, do you actually know Him? Maybe you've heard about the power of God, but haven't really had many different experiences in your life where you could see the power of God. Maybe there were times in your life where you wondered, if God is so powerful, why is our world such a mess? If God is so powerful, why do bad things happen like tornadoes and different catastrophes? Why do I have to deal with so many difficult situations in my life? If God is so powerful, why doesn't He just use His power to fix the world? More importantly, if God is so powerful, why doesn't He use His power to fix the things in my own life? So we're going to look at God's attribute of omnipotence. In the Old Testament, when they talked about omnipotence, they used a name for God that was the word El Shaddai. El Shaddai is Hebrew for God Almighty. Later on, when the church started using Latin, they interpreted it to the word omnipotent. So if you break that down, the word omni means all, and the word potent obviously means powerful. All powerful. God is an all-powerful God. He is omnipotent. And the Bible, all throughout, portrays the omnipotence of God. The Old Testament writers would often say rhetorically, is there anything that God can't do? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Job said, if it's a matter of power, He is the strong one. Jeremiah said to God, nothing is too hard for you. More familiar, the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said that you will bear the Christ child. And she said, how is that possible since I'm a virgin? And the angel said to her, you will be pregnant by the Holy Spirit, for nothing is impossible for God. And then in Jesus' teaching and ministry, when the rich man came to Jesus and said, "What do I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "Give up all of your stuff and follow me." And he was dejected and walked away. And the disciples looked at Jesus and said, "Man, if that's what it takes to get into the kingdom, how is it even possible?" And Jesus said, "All things are possible with God." And Paul said, "God is able to do abundantly more than we ask or imagine." The Bible clearly portrays an all-powerful God. The Bible clearly talks about a God who can do all things, a God who is omnipotent. But when we look at these proclamations, we can at times assume that God has power and is available to help us do the things that we are unable to do ourselves. I know often in my life I struggle with God's power and wonder if God is so powerful, why He doesn't do certain things for me. We've often thought of God as our own personal bodyguard, someone who will protect us from anything bad. Or sometimes we think God is so powerful, He's kind of like a genie in a bottle, that if I just ask Him to do one or two things, that my wish will be granted and it will be done. God is there to help us do the things that we are powerless to do. And when God doesn't use His power in the ways that we expect, we begin to lose our faith and trust in Him. So what do we think about omnipotence? How do we think about God's omnipotence in a way that helps us to know Him, to realize what His power is for and what it's about? So in order to regain our faith in God's power, His omnipotence, let's look with a theological and biblical definition of omnipotence. Omnipotence is God's power and ability to accomplish anything and everything within and according to His character, will, and purposes. Since God is holy, perfect in His nature, His character, He cannot and will not use His power, His omnipotence, to do anything that is outside of His nature and will, and He will always use His power to accomplish what He wants, what is His will. God does what He knows is best for the world and for you. Some of us may have heard this posed in a question where the world wrestles with God's omnipotence. They use this difficult question. Can God create a rock too big for Him to move? And the difficulty there is if we answer yes, then we're saying that there's something that God can't do. He can't move this rock. If the answer is no, then we're saying that God can't build such a rock. Either way, we're forced to place limits on God's power. This problem resembles another teaser that we've seen before. What happens when an irresistible force meets the immovable object? In all reality, we can't have both, right? Something has to give. The immovable object must move, or the irresistible force must fail. But the question here is not a real dilemma, because it's built on a false principle. It leaves part of the equation out. See, as a theological term, omnipotence does not mean that God can do anything. The Bible indicates several things that God cannot do. God cannot lie. God cannot die. God cannot be eternal and created at the same time. God cannot act against His own nature. What omnipotence does mean is that God holds complete power over all of creation. There is no part of creation that stands outside of the scope of God's sovereign control. So back to the question of, can God build a rock so big that He can't move it? The answer to that dilemma is no, that God can't build a rock so big that He can't move it. Why? Because if God ever built such a rock, He would be creating something over which He had no power. It's impossible. He would be destroying His own omnipotence. So God would never even contemplate such a thing. Because to do so, he would have to stop being God. And he can't stop being God. He cannot not be all-powerful. God is always in control and in power over all things. He is always sovereignly in control. So here's maybe a simple summary that could help us with this. That God cannot use his power selfishly because he's not selfish. God is not sinful, right? We talked about that last week, that God is holy. He is pure. He is pure in his thoughts and in his actions. So God would never even think about that possibility of creating a rock that he couldn't move because that would be a selfish thing to do. And God is not selfish. God's power and ability will only be used to accomplish anything and everything within and according to his will, his character, and his purposes. God cannot do something outside of his nature. God is superior to all things, more powerful than all things, and will use his power to do what he pleases to accomplish his purposes. So that's kind of a definition, an overlook of what it means to be omnipotent. Now, we could probably stop there and wrestle with that the rest of the week, right? Because it's a lot to think about. And if you think about it, God is so big that it's hard for us to even get our minds around the concept that God is omnipotent. So God reveals his omnipotence to us in ways that we can understand and know him in a deeper way. The first way that God does that is he reveals his omnipotence to us in all of creation. So God displays his power in the act of creation and continues to display his power in the control over all of creation. God displays his power in creating the universe simply by speaking it into being. Now I want you to think about this. Because for us to create something, right, we think about it, we put it together in our minds, and then we go out and we get all the materials that we need, and we take our hands and we begin to build it. But God, in his power, speaks it into being. That means that all the molecules, everything that is in creation is under his authority and under his command, at his word, God created all things. That's power. God's omnipotence means that he has and holds absolute power over all things. He simply willed creation into existence. Romans 4:17 says, "Into being that which does not exist, God called it into being." No one helped God create the world. It says in Isaiah 44:24, "I, the Lord, am the maker of all things, stretching out the heavens by myself and spreading out the earth all alone." Yet God's power is greater than anything he has ever made. Contemplating his creation ought to cause us to appreciate God's power. But what God creates, he also sustains, maintains, and preserves. Hebrews 1:3 says, "He upholds all things by the word of his power." At this very moment, God is sustaining everything in the universe. If God were to remove his power and his control over the universe, we would be dead in an instant. Let me explain a few things. So think about the law of gravity. Without the law of gravity, we wouldn't even be able to walk on Earth. Think about this crazy thing. You know that the Earth orbits the sun, but it does so at 70,000 miles an hour. Like, that's crazy. We go 100 miles an hour in a car. We think we're going crazy. We're out of control, right? We're actually standing on a planet that is moving 70,000 miles an hour around the sun. How in the world how do we maintain our balance? The law of gravity. God maintains it. What about this? Consider the sun. Did you know that the temperature on the surface of the sun is 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit? Which means that the orbit in which the Earth goes around the sun is exactly at the right place. If it was closer to the sun, we would burn up. If it was farther away, we would freeze to death. God keeps the earth in orbit around the sun at the perfect distance. Not only that, if the moon didn't exist, the tides wouldn't exist, and we wouldn't be able to breathe. We wouldn't have any oxygen, right? Things in the universe don't happen by accident. God sustains it by His power and majesty. The universe is ordered and reliable because we have a God who is powerful and in control of all things. Paul says it this way in Romans 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. Why? So that we are without excuse. All of us can see God's power displayed in creation. Secondly, God reveals His omnipotence to us in and through the resurrection. God's power is revealed in His ability to raise the dead. God's power is revealed in the resurrection when He raised Himself, Jesus raised Himself from the dead. Jesus was able to face the cross not only because of the Father's power, but also because of His own. And through the resurrection, He conquered the power of death. Jesus Himself said it this way in John 10, I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me. I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. I am the ultimate authority in life. I'm in charge of the resurrection. Through His resurrection, Jesus also showed the power that He has over our enemy, Satan, who seeks to kill and destroy us. Through His life, death, and resurrection, Jesus revealed and displayed God's power over sin and death. Jesus shows us, reveals to us, His power to provide us with life. Abundant life here on this earth and eternal life with Him in heaven. I want to challenge you. If you're here today and you're not really sure if you believe, investigate. Investigate the fact that Jesus was a historical person who walked on the face of the earth. And the Bible reveals who He says He is, and His claims reveal His power. The resurrection is not only something that we read in the Bible, but we read it in extra historical accounts as well. If we investigate the resurrection, we will find that Jesus has power over life. As believers who believe in that, it ought to fill us with awe and wonder and ought to lead us to worship. The fact that God can provide us with life, that He can conquer Satan, sin, and death for us. God revealed His power to us through the resurrection of Jesus. Along with that, God reveals His omnipotence to us in the consistency of redemption. Now, I didn't know what other way to say this other than that God has the power to provide salvation. But I wanted to include a numerous amount of things, because in that salvation, God actually works through His Spirit to regenerate your heart so that He changes your heart, and He is responsible for leading you all the way through salvation to the end. That's Paul's point in Philippians 1, verse 6, when he says, He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. He will perfect it in you on that day when Christ Jesus returns. Salvation means that God has power to influence your faith from beginning to completion. Redemption was even a greater display of God's power than creation. See, if you think about it, in creation, God had no opposition. There was no opposition to creation. No one opposed God or tried to keep Him from doing it. In this broken, sinful world, God had an opponent, Satan. He had to deal with that. He had to be subdued. Death and sin and Satan had to be conquered. He displayed His power over all the powers of this dark world and against all the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms, as Paul says in Ephesians 6. God not only displayed His power over the spiritual world, but we're sitting here today because of the powerful influence of God through His Holy Spirit. Now think about it. That Jesus transformed the lives of 12 ordinary fishermen. And that's where Christianity started. And from there, no one has been able to stop it. It is a supernatural power of God that works in your heart, that works in the church, that works in all of the world. And that's why the church and Christianity is alive and growing today. And as Jesus said, it will never die. The gates of hell will never prevail against the Christian faith because God is all powerful. He is in charge. And it's evidence that we're sitting here today that God is powerful and in charge. We can see God's omnipotence in His plan of redemption, and we can see God's omnipotence in the changes in our lives. Your story, what God has done in your heart and in your life, is evidence of God's power at work in you. So now what? When we can see the omnipotence of God, it ought to lead us to be transformed. When we experience the omnipotence of God, it ought to lead to a heart change, to a thought process change, to a life change. How does that happen? God's omnipotence ought to deepen our trust in Him. Think about it this way. When we really wrestle with God's power and omnipotence, and we look at our lives and the brokenness in our lives, we often wonder why God just doesn't use His power to fix everything. As I wrestled with that this week, I thought about it this way. If God will not use His own power, His own will, to do things that are selfish and unnecessary for Him, why should we not expect God to use His power for our selfish desires? Because that's really what it is. So we get kind of upset with God when He won't use His power to do the things that we want Him to do. When in all reality, if everything went perfect in my life, I would conveniently find an excuse to not really need God, but that God works difficult things in our life so that we can lean and trust in Him and His power. So we should trust that God will use His power to do what He thinks is best for us. See, that's what faith is all about. It's all about believing in an all-powerful God, but saying that, God, I trust in Your power to do what You think is best for me and for my life. Paul shared that very thought with us. As he was experiencing some real difficulty in his life, he had prayed that God would remove this difficulty from his life. But he shares God's response in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 to 10. He says that God responded by saying, "My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore," Paul says, "I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, and in difficulties." Why? Because when I am weak and I rely on the power of God, then I am strong. How different would life be if we took that approach? If we recognize that in our weaknesses, we need to trust in God, and then we will become strong. My grace is enough for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. In the Christian life, we get many of our blessings through transformation, not substitution. See, that's the difference. The difference is when we look at our hardships, we want substitution. God, substitute this difficult thing in my life with something better, something good for me. When God's idea is transformation, See, when Paul prayed three times for the removal of his pain, he was asking God for substitution. Give me health instead of sickness. Deliverance instead of pain and weakness. But sometimes God does meet the need by substitution. But other times, He meets that need by transformation. He doesn't remove the affliction, the difficulty. But He gives us the grace so that the affliction works for us in ways that we don't understand, but need to trust that God knows and has our best interest at heart. In a sense, God's power turns our weaknesses into strengths. We need to trust God to use His power in our lives in ways that He thinks is best for us, and to trust that His power will help see us through it. So many times we find ourselves saying that we don't have enough power or strength to handle a situation. But God says that He will give it to us. So whenever you feel inadequate, remember Paul's words from Philippians 4:13. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Would you say that with me? I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. One more time. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Can you think of a better verse to memorize? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Whenever you are coming up against a difficulty in your life, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And again, that's not about taking it away from you. It's about transforming you, helping you walk through it. God's great power is available and sufficient for all of our needs. We need to let God's power be a source of confidence within us to help us get through whatever we need to go through, no matter how difficult it is. God's power is also the basis of our hope, both now and for the future. We can trust in God's power because we know what it means for our security, for our life. That someday all of our pain and suffering will be gone because of what Jesus did for us on the cross and through the resurrection. That someday heaven will be ours. Eternal life is ours because of what Jesus did for us. Remember the story of Job? When God allowed all these horrible things to happen to Job, right? He lost his family. He lost his business. All of his animals were wiped out. He lost his house. He lost everything. And then later on, he also was covered with boils and was just suffering with this physical thing in his life. How did Job make it through all of those things? How did Job make it through that suffering? He trusted in God's omnipotent power to get him through. He had confidence and hope in who God was. He had confidence and hope in an all-powerful God that no matter what, God would help see him through. And he said it this way in Job 19. I know that my Savior lives, and at the end He will stand on this earth. My flesh may be destroyed, yet from this body I will see God. That's the same hope, the same confidence we can have because we believe in the same all-powerful God. Knowing the Lord is all-powerful is what helped Him endure great suffering. God is omnipotent. God is all-powerful. We know and understand His omnipotence. It will help lead us into a deeper trust that will transform our life and our faith. Faith in Jesus is all about trusting that God's power, all things are possible, and that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Let me leave you with one final thought. And it comes from Paul's prayer to the Ephesians. It happens to be one of the things that I pray for you on a regular basis. Ephesians 1:18 and 19 says this. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know the hope to which He has called you, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. Let's pray together. God, help us not only to know about You, but to know Your incredible power. and not only to know about your credible power, but to be able to experience it in our lives. Lord, may we really understand that in our difficult times, in our suffering, in our trials, in our difficulties, that You are an all-powerful God. Help us to trust in You. Lead us and direct us to build our faith and trust in You in and through all things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.